Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And before we get too far from the Super Bowl, if you were one of the record 163 million Americans who tuned in, you might have noticed Green Bay quarterback Aaron Rodgers, the Super Bowl MVP, had a helmet that looked different than his teammates. After having suffered two concussions during the regular season, Rodgers was being especially cautious. He wore this customized head protector modified with extra padding. This particular helmet seems to have capped Rodgers' concussions this season at two, but that number is still too many for scientists who study the long-term effects of trauma to the brain. Study after study of the brains and bodies of ex-NFL players have revealed that the long-term effects of playing football can be devastating, everything from headaches to depression and early-onset dementia. In a recent article in The New Yorker, staff writer Ben McGrath examines the new science around traumatic head injuries and asks if these revelations are building a case against football, professional, amateur, high school, Pop Warner, the whole thing. Ben, welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, how are you?
Good. This is the year the concussions seem to have become a serious focal point for discussion, even though they've been known about for a long time. Did something change?
Yeah, well, I think it's been building for maybe 3 years or so. But what's interesting to me, in part, is that in boxing, say, we've known about you know, head trauma for 80 years, say, and in football, you know, where the effects seem to be similar, it really has only begun to get noticed. And I would say, yeah, in the last 3 years.
And listeners, we have about 10 minutes for this segment. I wonder, well, first of all, we have a blog post up on this on our politics website. It's a free country. org. Jamie Floyd, one of our bloggers, posted the story about her own father, a college football star who is suffering now from Parkinson's. Jamie, despite her own love of football, said that she wouldn't allow her son to play the game that she and her father bonded over. So we want to take your stories, if you have any, if you love football or if you hate it. We want to hear from you about how the new science makes you feel about the sport. And if you would ever consider playing it or allowing your children to play, are there any childhood concussion stories that you want to relate? And, you know, this is best as a call-in for a few minutes for people who do love football and who have kids who are into football. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. You know, it was a good Super Bowl, Ben. Close, exciting, lots of points. But by halftime, many big stars had already gone down to injury. In fact, the Packers were the most injured team in the NFL this year, with 15 players put on injured reserve. Do you think the sport is just getting too violent in general? Is it about the linebackers getting bigger and bigger all the time?
Well, yeah, I mean, there are two things. One, yeah, so everyone kept on telling me when I was working on this story, you know, remember force equals mass times acceleration. And I think they were trying to say, just look at how big these guys are. Just look at how fast they are. Look at how much weight training they're doing. It's inevitable. The collisions will become more violent.
The number of 300-pounders, for example, has increased.
It's over 400,
right?
Or something, I think, yeah.
Wow.
But another thing that I realized once I started thinking about this is, well, the game has evolved in such a way to allow for a lot of injury for quite a long period of time. I mean, these rosters have more than 50 players on them. I mean, that's the reason the Packers are able to keep playing with so many guys injured, is because it's a given that in order to field a team once a week for a game that really only involves about 10 or 11 minutes of action, you need 50 guys. So I think, you know, it's really just we're now starting to realize, you know, how much injury and pain has been built into the game from the beginning.
It's an injury mill. And they finally moved in the NFL from fighting the science to acknowledging it. I think that maybe is what's new this year. But
right.
Do you think there can be technological fixes like Aaron Rodgers' helmet?
Yeah, I mean, certainly that's one thing that they're hoping for, and whether through better, you know, mouth guards that register the impact with accelerometers and really getting a technical reading. There's also a danger there, which is that it's, you know, it's the technology from the leather helmet to the hard plastic helmet to the full-on face mask that gives players the feeling, the false feeling, essentially, of safety, which makes them hit harder. And there is a real concern. I think some of the doctors I talked to said, you know, no helmet is gonna prevent some of these really violent collisions from damaging brains.
Let's take a phone call. Here's Vincent in Marstown. You're on WNYC. Hi, Vincent.
Hi, interesting show. I just wanted to mention that I played football in high school and college, suffered about 4 or 5 concussions, 2 or 3 of them, very serious, where I was out for, you know, not completely unconscious, carried from the field, that sort of thing, one actually on the cross. This was in the 70s. I played for an Ivy League football team.
Ivy League. That's not real football.
Well, that's what people say, I know.
go ahead.
It's true. You know, we're not killing people like Penn State.
It's real. So it was real enough for you to get 4 concussions.
Anyway, I just wanted to mention that some of the one of the things that I take it from this is I get some seizures nowadays that I think might have something to do with it. And the fact that I've got a big son who I dissuaded from playing football, and with all of these articles coming out now, all this new science, I'm pretty happy that I did. He's fine right now, nothing's going on. I think that some of the shots that I took to the head, you know, they're starting, you know, about 10 years ago, it started to affect me in other ways besides the seizures. I think may not necessarily be so. The doctors, same thing, they're not really sure. But they think it might have something to do with it.
And your son, did he take it well, your prohibition?
Yeah, he did, actually. We went to hear the high school football coach speak, and the guy was such a goofball that, you know, I really didn't want to put my son, entrust my son to the guy in the first place, and he picked up on that as well.
Yeah, and he turned to you and he said, yeah, Dad, now that you mention it, you're a little bit off.
Oh, yeah, that's been thrown in my face, not only by him.
thank you for your call. I really appreciate it. Kathleen in Norwalk, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, thanks, Brian. Well, I'm the mom of a 13-year-old who's been playing since fourth grade. He just finished last fall his eighth grade season. He's not the biggest kid on the team. We've been fortunate that he's not had any serious concussions. We've had a couple of knee episodes and that sort of thing. But we are now faced with the prospect of him considering playing football in high school.
Has it been tackle football or flag football?
Oh, totally tackle football. And I will say, I just heard your earlier commenter mention that he thought the coach that his son might have been working with was a goofball. We've really admired the coaches that my son has worked with. They've been really great positive influences in his life. I think it's the nature of the game itself. You know, we also have followed the recent reports in the science regarding the new equipment that's coming out, some of the new findings coming down, despite pressure from the NFL to suppress, I think, some of the science in regard to the injuries and the long-term impact of concussion. But, you know, we now are faced with really considering what the implications will be when he gets into a high school program where he's playing against even bigger guys. Because, as I say, he's a great athlete, but he's not the biggest kid on the field. And
so you're deciding whether to let him at all?
Well, I think at this point we have encouraged him to look at other sports. He loves lacrosse. Lacrosse is becoming a very popular game here in the Northeast. It is a sport for which they need to wear pads, they wear helmets, there's a lot of physical contact, but not to the degree that we see in football. Mm-hmm.
Kathleen, thank you so much for your call. So, Ben McGrath, is there a movement to, what, regulate the game in a different way, to actually ban it altogether? I mean, people do say, you know, it's very politically incorrect, but people do say, look, football just has too many injuries. Kids shouldn't be playing organized football, but of course the idea of doing away with something as immensely popular as high school football or college football, not to mention the NFL, people just think you're from Mars.
Yeah, I mean, I think football is kind of frozen in a moment of uncertainty. There's not really a movement to ban it yet, in part because, as you say, it is so popular, it is so embedded in our culture. So there are a number of different approaches. There's sort of, well, maybe we should just get better at diagnosing these injuries and wait for the science to sort of render a verdict about just how dangerous this is if we're doing all the right medical care. And then there's another approach which says, well, maybe we need to try and take the most sort of flagrant hitting out of the game, or at least the most repetitive hitting. And so there's, you know, maybe we change the rules. Maybe linemen shouldn't line up in what's called the three-point stance and sort of explode upward and sort of mash their heads against one another. We shouldn't have kickoffs and punt returns because that allows people to run, you know, uninterrupted for 40 yards and build up, you know, this sort of car crash-like speed. So I think there are a number of different approaches, but the overriding theme, it seems to me, is one of just not knowing how it's going to come out of this 10 years mm-hmm. from now, 20 years from now. What will football look like? How many people will play it? I don't think we know.
And we'll end this with this thought from ex-Kansas City Chief Michael Oriard from your article on race and class implications. He told you, what happens if football players become like boxers from lower economic classes with racially marginalized groups? If it gets to the point where it's the rich white guys cheering on hits by black guys and a Samoan or two, Jesus, I hate to imagine we're indifferent to that. Ben McGrath wrote about football injuries for The New Yorker. Thank you, Ben.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up next, we'll talk to foreign policy expert Joseph Nye about his theories of smart power in the high-tech era and how they relate to Wael Ghanim as the new Egyptian hero and the Obama administration backing the Mubarak regime itself running the transition to democracy. Where you hear these clips of Secretary Clinton and the U.S. envoy to the Mubarak regime. Stay with us.